Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And in a way, we're going to do a little more history now, though we're going to talk about what's happening in New York City right now with respect to how 20 years ago this week, President Bill Clinton signed the landmark welfare reform bill pushed by Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, capping the amount of time people could receive assistance and adding work requirements. Here he is describing the bill that he finally agreed to sign in 1996.
When I ran for president 4 years ago, I pledged to end welfare as we know it. I have worked very hard for 4 years to do just that. Today, the Congress will vote on legislation that gives us a chance to live up to that promise. To transform a broken system that traps too many people in a cycle of dependence to one that emphasizes work and independence.
So we will now look at how Clinton-Gingrich welfare reform is affecting New York today. New York City under Mayor Giuliani had gotten started with work requirements even earlier, and Mayor Bloomberg tweaked them again beginning in 2002, but is considered to have mostly continued the Giuliani policies. But when Mayor de Blasio appointed Stephen Banks, someone who fought those reforms as head of the Legal Aid Society, to head up the New York City Human Resources Administration / Department of Social Services, people asked the question, did that mean the city was ending welfare reform as we knew it? Commissioner Banks joins me now to talk about the gains and shortcomings of the Clinton-Gingrich welfare reform as he sees them and how the program is working today under the current administration. Commissioner Banks, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. So historically, what do you see as the biggest changes that resulted originally from the change from the old aid to families with dependent children welfare program to temporary assistance to needy families, TANF as it's known today? Emphasis on temporary. Is that where to start?
Yeah, I think that is where to start. I mean, I think that the big change was from ongoing benefits and a federal template for what those benefits would be to one in which the states were given the ability to submit plans within the rubric of since this would be temporary and there would be work requirements. New York is a little bit different in the sense that under our state constitution, there is a residual ongoing obligation to provide aid and care to the needy under Article 17, and so there was a time limit concept for the receipt of federal benefits, but then there is a state safety net program that is in place once those federal time limits are reached.
And listeners, I'm just curious, we don't have time for a lot of calls, but if you've participated in the welfare system since 1996, let us know what your experience has been. Has welfare reform, as we have been knowing it for 20 years now, worked for you, the temporary aspect of it, the work requirement, whatever else has it applied to you? Tell us your story to 12-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Where were you at the time, Commissioner, 20 years ago? Did you see the need for reforming what had been in place and just disagreed with what Gingrich and Clinton agreed to in particular, or totally on a different page?
Well, I think certainly at that time I was at the Legal Aid Society and I represented clients who had problems with the public assistance system, and the problems ranged from clients that wanted education and training services that were unable to get them to clients that needed benefits and the benefit levels were inadequate. I have to say now, from the perspective of running the city's Human Resources Administration, that you had me on the show when I first came in and we talked about the reforms that we were planning in New York, and they are reflective of some of the concerns that clients that I represented had experienced over the many years, but really connected to the mayor's focus on fighting poverty and income inequality in the city, and employment clearly is a part of fighting poverty and income inequality in the city. And what we found when we came in to evaluate the programs that have been in place was that a lot of the programs that have built up over many years weren't actually putting people in the best position to obtain employment or helping those that needed other kinds of supports because of an inability to work. So let me lay out to you and those that are listening again what the reforms that we're trying to put in place are and where we are in that effort. Fair enough?
Yeah.
So the program, as we inherited it in 2014, had built up over several decades as a one-size-fits-all approach. And in that one-size-fits-all approach, clients who might have been connected to the workforce and just needed help reconnecting to the workforce, or clients that had only a ninth-grade education and were then going to have trouble getting employment, they're all being offered the same menu of services without a differentiation that clients might need different kinds of services. And we submitted to the state in 2014 an employment plan to reform the way our approach, to get away from a one-size-fits-all approach and to really emphasize education and training and giving people the ability to go on a career pathway as opposed to providing them with short-term employment that would result in their return to the caseload, which is what we have been seeing happening. And the state approved that plan and gave us a two-year phase-in. We're coming up on the conclusion of that two-year period in December. Among the chief features of that of the plan that we've been implementing is a phase-out of the WEP program, the Work Experience Program, and replacing it with better programs to provide education and training and employment to connect people to jobs that exist in the city economy. And, again, consistent with the mayor's career pathway approach, we have substantially reduced the numbers of WEP placements and replaced them with other kinds of employment opportunities for clients, and we will make our deadline, which is the end of this calendar year, to eliminate the WEP program placements.
Sure.
We've also increased the ability to provide education and training, which is so important. We know that people who have no high school credential are likely to make in the neighborhood of $20,000 with a high school credential potentially in the neighborhood of $30,000 and with two or more years of college, $40,000. So in terms of fighting poverty and inequality, giving people the ability to obtain employment with the different kinds of training, educational credentials is a real element here. We worked with the state for a state law change that enables clients to attend four-year college as part of the road to moving out of poverty and getting those higher paying jobs. And we've also emphasized the numbers of people on our caseload who are working full time will benefit from the increase in the minimum wage. There are 80,000 clients that actually have a work requirement under federal and state law out of the 500,000 people that receive recurring assistance in any given year. 80,000 people, 27,000 are working full time, and they're eligible, or working full or part time, and they're eligible for our assistance because of the inadequacy of the minimum wage.
Let me follow up on one of those points, and our time is short. But you emphasize the education and training piece that's now more liberal under Mayor de Blasio and you. And that's been raising the hackles of some conservatives, like at the Manhattan Institute think tank. Their magazine, the City Journal, had a piece by Fred Siegel and Mayor Bloomberg's HRA Commissioner, Robert Dorr, who's more conservative on these issues than you, critical of your policies, citing the successes of reforms under Giuliani and Bloomberg, such as, quote, 75% of those placed into jobs remained off welfare a year later. So they're defending the WEP program. From 1994 to 2009, work rates for New York single mothers rose from 43% to 63%, unquote. So how do you respond to the basic idea here? And we heard this critique before 1996, and now we're hearing it again, that any work can lead to more work, while education hasn't proved to be an effective pathway to work, and just gives people another way to stay out of work.
Well, interestingly enough, John Kasich in his state has been very focused on the need for a change in federal and in welfare reform to address the fact that there wasn't enough emphasis on education and training.
Right, he had that very eloquent article on that op-ed in the Times this week.
And I have to say, if you said to me, what's a single change that would make a difference when the Congress ultimately reauthorizes welfare reform, which has not been reauthorized, it's been continuing on an annual year-to-year basis for the last 6 years or so. The fact is that we're only able to count education and training as a core activity, a primary activity for a year. And when we have 60% of our caseload with a ninth grade level, we need the ability to provide the kinds of supports to enable people to get the kinds of credentials that will enable them to move out of poverty. And that's really what we're focused on, ensuring that we can get people employment to help them move out of poverty. There are terrific programs that are in place in our city. We work with a range of them. They're working every day to give people the skills to help them move out of poverty. We are as committed to employment services as anybody is, but we want to make sure that we don't just result in people getting off of our caseload and then returning. I would question some of those numbers, because what we saw is the churning of people on and off the caseload resulted in, you know, case closings and sanctions to the extent that we were facing a potential $10 million state penalty because of repeated fair hearings challenging people that were on the caseload in January, were cut off, went to a fair hearing and got back on the caseload in March. And so that churning was a negative factor in our operation of the program, and with the state's help, we addressed that. And so I think that really the focus has to be on giving people a helping hand when they need it and having good employment programs in place to help people move off the caseload on an ongoing basis, not just move on and off the caseload and be out of the number 1 month and in the number the next month, and then everybody looks at the number and says, well, the number is a good number. We're focused on human beings, not just numbers, and making sure that we give people the tools and ability to get employment and move off the caseload when they can, or if they can't, to give them assistance to getting federal disability assistance so that they can receive those supports.
And in our last minute, the other argument that some people make against giving welfare to people as they get four-year college degrees is, you know, people who are just a little above that line say, gosh, I'm working my tail off at two jobs or whatever while I'm going to school. And there are other people who my tax dollars are supporting while they're going through the same educational process that I am.
Well, I think the change in state law in 2014, which we supported, makes a lot of sense because it sort of balances that. It says that our clients can attend school as a work activity, but they also have to participate in 20 hours of work, actual work activities. And so for that, we provided additional work-study opportunities. So our clients that are at CUNY are able to participate in work-study, just like any other students who are receiving work-study benefits to go through college. They have to participate in those activities as a condition of continuing to get benefits. So New York State made a sensible change in law to undo an absolute prohibition on counting college as a part of the way in which people get the credential to move on off the caseload and out of poverty. So we support the change, and it's starting to have an effect for clients.
All right. So 20 years after the Clinton-Gingrich welfare reform. It was signed by the president in 1996 on this week. There's a little bit of how it is now being reformed again and expressed in policy under the de Blasio administration at the level of New York City. Stephen Banks is commissioner of the New York City Human Resources Administration / Department of Social Services. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Francesca Ramsey on the cancellation of The Nightly Show with Larry Wilmore on Comedy Central. Stay with us.